doesn't need to feel hard. It gets to feel easy if you make it feel easy and intentional, and stop paying attention to what everyone else is doing. Be authentic to yourself. Know your audience inside and out so that you can create content that speaks to their soul so that they open up their purses for you.
Welcome to the Women Choosing Growth podcast, where we bring you practical advice and guidance on how to grow your business and achieve success in your entrepreneurial journey. We feature inspiring stories of success, challenges of growth, and lessons learned from women entrepreneurs, industry experts, and thought leaders who have been through the growing pains inevitable as an entrepreneur. Whether you are just getting started or are looking to scale up your business, our show is designed to provide you with the tools, resources, and community you need to grow your business. Join your host, Tina, a lifelong entrepreneur and business growth advisor, as we explore topics such as marketing, sales, finance, leadership, and personal growth, all tailored specifically to the needs of women entrepreneurs. So if you're ready to grow your business faster and smarter and learn from the experiences of those who have traveled the growth path before you, then this podcast is for you. Thanks for tuning in and let's get started.
Welcome back to another episode, ladies. Today's guest is Carlyn Ankrum, and she is the founder and lead strategist of Oh Snap Social Media. She is also the creator of Fan Fire Starter Framework, which is a new approach to social media marketing. Today, she is joining us to share with us really simple steps, five actually, to attract more quality leads. So some very important information there. It is simple and it is a way to get quality leads in very little time. And I absolutely love the fact on how simple these are as she goes through them in this episode. So Carlyn is not only an amazing and long-term social media guru, but she developed her strategies after working for decades with a variety of different businesses, brick and mortar and service. And they were all anti-social media, and not because they didn't want to do social media, but because they were intimidated by it, which is something we hear a lot. So in response to that, she created this very simple strategy framework to unstick social media in just an hour per week. So for all of you who either don't have the time or don't have the expertise or just want to learn more about how to really get quality leads through your social media, this is an episode for you. Karen, I am so excited to dive into the five simple steps to attract more quality leads. But first, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Tina. Happy to be here.
I want to dive in, but I know you have an interesting story of how you became this entrepreneur, successful woman that you are. So do you mind sharing with our listeners your crazy little journey?
Yeah, I'll give you the short version because, you know, 15 years in the making, I won't bore you to tears, but it really started, I've always had a passion for writing. So for me, it started back when I was 10, filling, you know, composition books full of just like my 10-year-old thoughts that I thought at the time were just like earth shattering, but it was really like, I went to the pool, I did this thing with my friend today, yay. But it became like habitual, almost something that I looked forward to every night before I went to bed to kind of dump my thoughts. So I journaled all the time. Fast forward to high school and college, where I got involved with the newspaper and the yearbook and things like that. I majored in journalism, but I realized quickly, I was sitting in my news writing class and they're like, what do you want to do with this degree? You know, we were going around the room and everyone's like, oh, I want to be the editor of Cosmo, or I want to be a reporter for this newspaper. And I was sitting there thinking, like, I don't think newspapers are going to be around. And I was like, I don't think I want to do any of those things. So I had a big question mark over my head for the majority of my college career until it was my senior year. And this whole concept, not to date myself, but like the whole concept of Web 2.0 started to kind of like show up, where businesses, corporations, things like that were starting to leverage the power of their digital presence, including social media, blogging, all of that. But I looked at it from the journalist's lens, because I was like, how cool is it that companies could now control a little bit of the narrative to get it out to journalists faster without having to like pry it out of the corporation's hands or the business's hands. We could literally just look them up on social, see what they're doing, ask questions, and get answers. So the communication started to flow, and I was like, this is what I want to do. So that's what I did for the first couple of years of my career. I was in a association type of organization, managing the website, managing all the corporate channels, setting up all the corporate channels. I mean, back in the day, that's when you could grow like a Facebook page to like 3,500 people, like quality people, without even running any ads. Like, oh, the glory days.
Back in the day. Yeah, exactly.
Like, that was the best. I don't think we really knew how good we had it back then. And then I worked for a lot of startups. I got also laid off from a bunch of these startups, which really hurt my mindset in a lot of ways, where I was like, well, no good. I'm not good at this thing. Da, da, da. But really, if, you know, now that I'm out of that, it was really, they just mismanaged their money and they like couldn't afford me anymore. And that's fine. But from those, what I viewed as setbacks, I actually have always been a very high achieving human. I don't know what it is. It's just part of like the DNA. And I started OSNAP Social on the side while I was in this layoff period. Cause I got laid off in September, and no one ever, I don't even remember what year it was, but no one ever hires the last quarter of the year. Like that's, people are like going on vacations and holiday and things like that. They're not hiring people. So I, you know, started OSNAP Social on the side. People knew that I did social media. They knew that I had, you know, the digital chops to go forward and get it done. So they started hiring me. I'm like my hairstylist, my nail tech, like I started small. And because of that, word got around. And so I had built this business on the side. I still went and got a job at a branding agency. And there I realized I was turning 30. I was like, am I going to go all in on myself or not? And if I wasn't, am I okay with living with the regret of not having done it? And I was like, nope. Not okay with that. So
not a high achieving woman would not say, but yeah, that would be okay.
And I don't know what it was. And I'm sure a lot of listeners can attest to this, where you feel like scared or fearful or whatever of jumping all in and betting on yourself because, well, entrepreneurship, there's no security in entrepreneurship. But what I found is there's no security in a full-time job either. I had gotten laid off twice at that point. Because no one knew what to do with the social media person, or a social media person that could edit video, design graphics, write copy. Like I was a digital unicorn and no one knew where to put me. So I realized I could prop up my own agency, having propped up like all of the interworkings and systems and processes of the agency I was working at full time. I was like, I can do this for myself. And so I used the nest egg that I had built on the side. It was about 25K sitting there. And I was like, okay, I'm leaving my 9 to 5 and making my, you know, 5 to 2 a.m. role my full-time job. So that's really where I started. And I grew very quickly. And I learned a lot of lessons in the past. Gosh, I'm going on my 6th year now in business full-time for myself. 8 years in total, which is totally bananas to think about. But yeah, it's been a journey. And I'm always learning.
I love a good side job turned into a real career, real success. So yeah, some people are just like all in from the beginning, and some are like you who are dabbling on the side and then just make that decision.
Yeah.
I like it.
It was great. It was the great decision for me because I had a good nest egg. I think if I hadn't had that nest egg and a few other things in my life that hadn't shifted, like I didn't have to pay huge rent. I moved in with, at the time, my boyfriend, who's now my husband. So like lots of other things were working in the background to make it possible, which I'm very fortunate.
And it was good timing.
Yeah.
Good timing. Well, let's dive in. Cause I know people are anxious to, I mean, getting more quality leads, very particular on having quality leads. Cause we can always get leads from, you know, that mean nothing. So quality leads are very important to be successful. So I want to dive into the 5 simple steps to attract these quality leads. And what is one of your biggest claim to fames? So let me hand it over to you. Let's start.
There's a lot that goes into this. So I will just lay out the first five. And I will tell you, they're simple for a reason. Like, this is not something that is this big lift of a strategy, because that's really hard to dissect within a podcast. Let me just be transparent. So these are simple things that you can take into consideration now moving forward when you are trying to shift and be more intentional in your social media content creation, strategy, goals, all the things. So the first one is probably pretty obvious to the majority of us. You have to be consistent. I think this is often a well-known tip, but also not always followed. By myself included. Can I just be transparent there? Because, you know, what is it? The cobbler's kids have no shoes. A social media agency has no social media. That's me. It is what it is, you know,
feast and famine.
truly. So social media is a long-term game. Can we just all agree to say it's not a quick win type of platform? You'll see tons of gurus and other people being like, I got 40,000 followers in 4 minutes. Good for them. But are they quality? You know, there's no minute to win it methodology here. You know, whatever.
Are they in your country?
Say, yeah. Listen, yes. That's a whole nother topic. But look. Right? Oh my gosh. Exactly. Yes. You know, it takes time, energy, effort to build connections and grow your leads. Notice I didn't say followers here. I said leads. Followers are great, but for me, followers don't matter unless I have a lead attached to it, to be transparent. Followers are great. Leads are way better because those are people that raised their hand and was like, I would like more things from you.
Okay. So I was going to say, let's define your definition of a lead. It is someone who's already
someone
raised
that
their hand
gave
for
me their email address in exchange for something that I had, a download. They registered for a free webinar I was doing. They signed up for my email list. I view all of those people as leads. Now, some people might say, well, that's not really a lead, Carlin, because, you know, you're not immediately selling something on the other end. But for me, a lead is something, a starting point, which I can build off of and nurture a relationship with outside the parameters of social media. Because like it or not, we do not own we're renting basically on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, because we don't own it. Microsoft owns LinkedIn, Meta owns Facebook and Instagram, right? So we're building our businesses on rent and land. And I think something we still don't know what's happening as we're recording this with TikTok, but I think that's a big thing that people are kind of scared, uncertain, that if TikTok were to be banned in the United States, people have built their businesses and livelihood leveraging TikTok content creation.
Yep.
And if it disappears.
And only TikTok for some.
And only TikTok. So if they have not taken, I'm sure they're shifting their strategy now, thank goodness, right? But if they have not taken the time to establish their leads or their community somewhere else outside of TikTok, and I'm not talking moving it over to Instagram, because I see a lot of that happening right now as well. I'm talking out of social and putting it somewhere else, like your email list, that part. And I'm a big proponent of that digital dot connection point. And that takes time, and that takes nurturing, and that takes creating content consistently to build the know, like, trust that all of us marketers, myself included, preach all the time.
Yep.
So when I say consistent, I don't mean you have to post every single day. There's also gurus out there be like, post 30 reels in 30 days. I will tell you, if you do that, you will be so burnt out that you're never going to post a reel ever again. You'll be tired. You will be kind of womp womp and feeling how, you're not the successful case study of this contest, right? You have to be consistent for you. Is that 3 days a week? Is that 5 days a week? Is it on Sunday, Monday, and Wednesday because that's when you have childcare? I don't know. Whatever it is for you, but be consistent about it. Be rigid in when you're posting your content, because the algorithms take notice, your audience takes notice, and they almost expect you to have that level of consistency. Now, I will also say, you don't have to do all the platforms either, right? Mm-hmm. Can we just, permission slip written, hand it slid over to you across the table. Yes. You do not have to do all the platforms. go where your audience is. Mm-hmm. For me, I have a presence on all of them. Why? Because that's what people expect of me as a social media person. They're like, you're everywhere, right? And I'm like, I am, but I leverage them differently. So the weight that I put into my content over on LinkedIn is way more weighted, heavy, than the effort that I put over on Facebook. Why? Because I get leads, I get closed business, I have great conversations with people that I'm trying to land for business and prospects on LinkedIn. I'm not having those same conversations on Facebook. But that doesn't mean that your audience is on LinkedIn and not on Facebook. They could be way more on Facebook. But go where they are. If you're not sure where they are, ask them. You're on a call with a prospect. Hey, where do you hang out online? And then the second piece to this is go where you actually like to hang out, where you know you can be consistent. If you're like, I hate Facebook, it's a pain. My feed is like totally swarmy and spammy and I don't want to be there. Okay, a few things you can do there. Curate your feed, hide the people that you don't want to see, condition it so it's seeing the right things that you want to see. But if you're like, I'm not there, then don't be there. For me, I love Instagram because it's fun for me. I love showing up on stories every day. And it's kind of like a peek behind the curtain into who I am in my business. Mm-hmm. Versus over on LinkedIn, though I'm not very buttoned up on LinkedIn either. Like, I'm happy that LinkedIn has started to kind of like, as a platform, like loosen the tie a little bit and have a little bit more fun. But I tend to be more thought leadership type of content over there. I have a very, very succinct strategy for both. Mm-hmm. But I spend the most time on those two platforms. I want you to think about what is the one or two platforms that you can post at least 3 times a week on consistently.
Okay.
Right? Because obviously, in an ideal world, our favorite platforms would be the ones that our, you know, audiences are on. Because that
our
makes
ideal
that
customer. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes it a lot more easy. It makes it a lot easier to be consistent if you're actually enjoying the platforms that you're showing up on regularly. Okay. So that's number one.
Great advice.
Mm-hmm. Number two, be authentic. I have a love-hate relationship with this word. I think it was like Oxford Dictionary's like 2023 word was like authenticity or authentic. And I kind of like rolled my eyes, but it's true. I mean, whether you love or hate this word, it is very buzzy because we're all being lectured. Be authentic. In this world of AI, be authentic. And I agree.
Is this year's word transparent?
It should be. It
2024, I feel like that's the buzzword for this year. Transparent and authentic.
Yeah, I can't. But there's a layer of validity here, right? So
yep.
It doesn't mean you have to be, you know, showing the world all the things. But what I mean by this is I want you to hush that comparison that's like consistently, you know, like clockwork in your brain for a lot of us, and keep the blinders on and keep going towards your goal. And that means you have to show up as you, who you really are every single day, or when you want to show up, whatever your consistency cadence is telling you. Mm-hmm. Because if you try to show up as your competitor or another person in your audience, or if you're following a guru that's telling that you have to be this type of way, that type of way, you will get so lost. You will be so frustrated, and creating content is going to be harder because you're not going to feel like you're being yourself. Yes. And also it's really frustrating if you meet someone like through the screen or in real life, they're like, you're not anything like you are online. That's like the worst. You want to have that consistency in who you are showing up online. And what I love about this is the more authentic you are to who you are, the more your content will frame that, and you'll attract people who are for you and repel people who aren't for you. Mm-hmm. That is like the best case scenario. And that's where the quality leads start happening, because you're not attracting people that think you're one way and then you're actually another way. I hope that makes sense what I'm just trying to say.
No, it makes perfect sense. And I would double down on this one too, because I've seen this with clients too, where they're like, oh, well, this other person is my competition and they're doing X, Y, and Z. But when it comes down to that ideal customer of yours, there's a reason that they aren't going to that competitor who's got a certain style or a certain whatever, right? Like, so don't be that person, because what they're looking for is probably you. And if you're pretending to be somebody else just because they're maybe have more followers or they look different on social media, then they're going to hire you thinking you're them, or vice versa. They're not going to hire you, I just say that? They're not going to hire you because you're not being yourself. So absolutely.
And there's, thousands of people like me who own social media agencies or are social media managers. Shoot. Like, I feel like some business owners are like, oh, my high school senior can do my social. Cool. But those people are not for me.
Like their kid. Yeah. They're more like 6 year old.
Yeah. Like, my neighbor down the street can do it. I'm like, okay, good luck with that. That's not my jam, but okay. Like, cool. Because what they don't realize in that scenario is, yes, they have the mechanics because they were probably born with an iPhone in their hand, right? Versus the strategic maturity that it takes in order to create content that will actually deliver the results that you're looking for. And that's the difference too, that I always tell people between hiring an agency and a strategist that can implement and do the doing versus like a virtual assistant. A virtual assistant can be very skilled in social media content creation, but what they might be missing is the layer of strategy. Not all, I'm just saying majority. Yeah. So as you're like looking to hire certain types of people, like just know that they have different skills.
Strategy and implementation, two totally different things.
Totally different.
But both needed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that part. So again, I don't want you to worry so much in delivering this, highly produced content, which is why number three is stop stressing over equipment. Okay. There are hundreds. And now with tools like AI tools, there's thousands, right, of gadgets and gizmos and AI and out there to be your best self, how to strut your best self on social. That was a lot of S's. I love alliteration, but that was a lot.
Do it again.
but EdoSnap again, I say this all the time on social, we're team hashtag no fancy pants. Like, we embrace scrappy, we embrace the mess. Why? Because tools often make the simplest content creation 10 times more complicated and 8 times more expensive. Like, I, for the longest time, I had an iPhone that was like a pop socket, the little handle thing. I propped it up on my laptop edge, and that's what I would use as my tripod. I didn't have a tripod.
Basic.
And I didn't even have lights back in the day before my office. Those of you who are watching this, I'm facing natural light. I'm facing a window. I wasn't originally. So I was using a lamp and another lamp. I mean, there's a picture on my LinkedIn somewhere in the archives of just me scrappy, just getting it done. Because really all you need right now are smartphones. Mm-hmm. They're 4K video. Hello. Amazing. We have basically an entire production studio in our pocket. So that eliminates the barrier of I have to get a fancy camera. The next thing is social media. People on social really relate to people who, again, that authenticity. It's not perfect. It's a little bit in the moment. And the biggest example that I share with my clients who maybe feel some kind of way, and they're like, I want to have the lights and the camera and the script going and everything like that. Joanna Gaines, I think it was during the pandemic, and I think the pandemic also helped a lot of us feel okay with showing up in what we call the business mullet. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I am right? Queen of business mullet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got the whole nice up top, and then you're wearing pajama pants or athleisure.
100%.
We talked about that before we jumped on in the last call. We're like, woo, rock the business mullet. But people are more forgiving, understand that the new normal is this transparent version of ourselves.
Authentic,
and Joanna Gaines is a great example. If you don't know Joanna Gaines, HGTV, Fixer Upper. But during the pandemic, she was really trying to elevate her Magnolia table food, whatever. So she did a Food Network special, and her cameraman was her 13-year-old son, though I don't recommend this typically, but you had to do what you had to do during those times, and an iPhone. And you were in the kitchen with her. You were walking around the kitchen. It felt very authentic. And it sucked you in. You just couldn't stop. And what I loved about this one episode, she forgot an entire ingredient. Like, she forgot to tell the audience.
An entire ingredient.
Totally forgot it. And she was like, oh yeah, by the way, like she like did a selfie video. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you that you add Parmesan cheese about a cup and a half, you know, and then it like went back. So people are used to having that layer of authenticity. So stop stressing about how you're going to show up on video specifically and just give it a try. Have good light, natural light from a window is excellent. Be in a sort of a quiet spot, you know, but a lot of these cameras these days on your phone can kind of help eliminate some of that. And go with content that is so easy to share that you say it all the time to your clients, to your colleagues, because if you stress around scripting something, it will feel so rigid and canned and people can see right through it.
Yep. So you sound different when you're scripted than, I mean, obviously we're never scripted on this show because yeah. I can't do it. I can't have a script and also listen and be authentic and ask real questions.
So, yeah. Otherwise it sounds very like, yeah.
Here's your four questions for this episode. Yes.
And I like being conversational as well, but high level.
It's conversational.
High level bullet points is all you need just so you don't forget anything that you wanted to say. I think that's the key.
Well, we're going to cover all five and we've done three. And I just want to, again, double down on that, not stressing out and being too rigid, because people buy from people that they feel a connection with. And if you're not being authentic and messing up or whatever, just being a real human being and everything is so perfect all the time, you're probably missing out on the people who want to buy from a real life person.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one story that I always share because it just impacted me so heavily. I got this from one of my business coaches. Is her daughter is a big swimmer, right? And so she was leading her freestyle swim race and she was headed towards, she was winning, right? A couple strokes ahead. And she saw her goal at the end of the lane, tapping the wall first. And then she popped her head up almost at the end and looked around to see where everyone else was in their swim, in their own race, that she lost the race.
Because she popped her head up.
She was too busy looking at what everyone else was doing instead of continuing to focus where she needed to focus and reach her goal. Mm. And so that is like, it hit me like a ton of bricks when I first heard that story. Because I was like, oh, that is so brilliant. Because if you lose focus of where you're going and you pay attention to everybody else who's running their own races, by the way, also, you're going to lose because your goal is now out of focus. So
literally keep your head down.
Literally. Head down, goggles on, you know, breathe to the side if you must, but shut your eyes, you know.
Grasp some air here and there.
Fully promote more coming up for air, but just don't look around. Just keep it moving.
Yes. Love it.
Yeah. So that's a really good lesson in understanding where you want to go and continuing to just blinders on and get it done.
Are you an accomplished woman business owner with a story to tell? Do you crave a platform where you can share your journey, the good, the bad, and the ugly? Hey everyone, it's Tina here. If you're fans of the show, then you know we are a show that celebrates the strengths and resilience of women entrepreneurs just like you. As we're getting this podcasting community going, I thought it would be fitting to extend an invitation to apply to join me as a guest on our Top 100 podcast platform. I started Women Choosing Growth because I believe that real growth happens when we come together and share our expertise and our experiences. We want to hear your inspiring stories, the challenges you face, and the lessons you've learned on your entrepreneur journey. Whether you've triumphed over adversity or faced setbacks head on, your story has the power to inspire and empower other women just like you. This platform is for you to showcase your achievements, highlight your expertise, and create meaningful connections within our community. So if you're a fearless woman business owner, unafraid to open up about your path to success, we want you on our show. Go to www.womenchoosinggrowth.com and join our community. From there, you'll be given the chance to fill out the short application. If you believe that you have a story to share, then why not? Once again, it's www.womenchoosinggrowth.com. I can't wait to feature more amazing and talented women in this community. Now, back to the show.
Number four, let's move into number four, is share your freebies and downloads often. Now, for my friends in the room, they're like, Carlin, I don't want to be salesy. Okay, same.
Email addresses then?
Exactly. You need to get email addresses. But the first step is telling people how you can solve their problem. Mm-hmm. And if you don't tell them or give them a little bit of a glimmer as to how you can solve that, they're never going to be a customer or a client or a member of your mastermind. Because again, social media is often, you know, the water cooler, the first place where your audience interacts with you. And that's also for those of us who are in sales, which should be all of us, by the way. But if you have
everyone
more of a
sales,
if you have more of a sales mindset, chances are, I don't know if you do this, but I do this. Like I go onto LinkedIn before I jump on a call with somebody. I'm like, who is this person again? And I just want to make sure they're legit. I do that all the time. Mm-hmm. And your prospects probably do that too. So having that consistency, showing up in how you solve the problem, understanding that you know your audience so well that you're giving them something for free in exchange for their coveted email address, mm-hmm, gets them further down what we call the buyer's journey. And this is pretty common in the business world, right? You probably have heard it, the awareness, consideration, decision. I subscribe to like the HubSpot model of the buyer's journey. There are a few others I think out there as well. But if they don't know what you have, then they have no idea how you can help them. So if you can create value-driven content that articulates their problem or pain point, but maybe they like don't really have like a grasp on how to name it yet. Like they just have this like annoyance that's happening in their business or their life, et cetera. Then the consideration is where most of these like lead magnets that you hear, downloads, quizzes, assessments, whatever, where they're like, okay, yeah, my pain point's big enough that I need to like start to figure this out. And then after they do that lead magnet, you get their coveted email address. The next part is that decision where they give you money in exchange for something else. And something that I think a lot of us miss, and so I'll just share this because I missed it early on in my business, was when you have like a lead magnet or a download, at the end, make sure to like have a call to action so how they can get on a call with you or buy your quick whatever book, ebook, whatever that dives deeper into the concept that you were sharing and make it clickable. So if it's a PDF download, for example, have the last page be the sale page for something that's related, whether it's setting up a call, whether it's, you know, buying something small, have that be that button on there literally be clickable so they can click it from the PDF and go buy your thing. I like missed that for the first like 2 years of my business. And I was like, duh. It wasn't until someone was like, hey, I downloaded your thing and then I don't know what's next. And I was like, oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. I'm thinking now, like, is mine clickable? I have to go to my freebie and find out because there is a next step. There is a call to action. I just don't know if it's clickable.
Yeah. And that's,
it will be now.
Just audit it quickly. Cause like people, especially in the fast paced world that we all live in right now, like people are not going to go type in a URL for the most part.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I always say share often because, again, it takes, what is the stat now? I think it's like 12 touches for someone to make a decision.
Used to be 7.
I know. Like there's so much noise.
Yeah. I was going to say that's a lot due to all of the different platforms and social media, mm-hmm, and so much noise, as you said.
Yeah. And so share often. If you sound like a broken record, chances are you're probably doing it correctly, because not everyone in your audience is going to see your stuff all the time. And so you have to be cognizant of that. a really great example that I did a couple of years ago. And I was like, oh, so what you're saying is I need to share more of my stuff. I shared when Reels first came out. So I mean, they've been out for a while, but more of an adoption was happening around 2020. I shared it on my Instagram stories. One of my friends who has a Instagram group on Facebook, ironically, she shared my download in there because she hadn't created one. She's like, I'm not going to create one if you have one, you know, and I'll share it in my group because I already have all of their emails, but maybe they can learn something from you. And I was like, awesome. She was like, do you mind if I share it? I was like, sure. And then in less than like 2 hours, I had 34 people download my freebie. Like, so I had 34 new leads interested in learning more about Instagram Reels in particular from this download.
From someone else promoting your download even better.
Yeah. Yeah. In her private group. But had I not even shared it outward, she wouldn't have seen it. And she wouldn't have opened it, downloaded it, thought it was worth its weight, and put it into her group. Mm-hmm. Of like-minded people. So you just never know. And I want you to think about like, what's the next steps? It's not just about like that one-to-one exchange. Someone like my friend could see it and drop it in their group. You never know. But if I didn't share it, like, where would I be? You know, I
would have created. You wouldn't have email addresses either. Which email addresses is the gold right before the actual dollars. Mm-hmm. Leads to dollars, which
leads
is what we all
dollars.
Want. Leads to dollars.
And then I think the fifth and final thing that we often forget in our social content is telling, in order to collect leads, is telling people what to do next. So that means making sure that we're including calls to action everywhere. Because really you can't have too many calls to actions in your you can. One per piece of content, just because we don't want to confuse people. But every single piece of content can and should have some type of call to action. Because if you don't tell your audience what you want them to do next, chances are they're not going to take any action. They're just going to keep scrolling. So on social, there's kind of two types of calls to action. One is internal, which means they stay on the platform. They engage in the comments, the likes, the shares, the saves. And then there's the external, which is what I'm here to talk more about, right? Is to grow the leads. And that means driving traffic off of a platform. I call that external. So there's a lot of people in today's world that are doing a mixture of both. They have like kind of a cadence where it's, you know, they do two engagement posts, which is an internal call to action, like drop a thumbs up emoji if you needed to hear this today. Or, you know, are you an AM or PM entrepreneur? Like, when are you most creative? In the morning, early bird, or night owl? Drop which one in the comments. What that does, number one, is it kind of, again, helps you understand your audience better. Because even with that one question, you can very quickly see, okay, well, when am I going to post content? Because maybe like they're night owls. I'm going to post
85% are night. Yeah. Okay. We know when to post. Like,
so it's like a win for me because I get to know my audience better. And it's also another win for me because that conversation will help build the value seen by the algorithm as it sits today to bubble it up to the top of the feed for people.
And it's because having of the engagement.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. That back and forth conversation. And if you can, you know, comment back to them. So if someone's like, I'm an early bird, and you're like, me too, but only with a certain amount of coffee. Do you drink coffee or what's your coffee order? Just keeping the conversation going. Cause then it gets the content more seen, trickle to the top of the feed, all of that stuff. Now, to move it over, there's kind of two schools of thought on this. It depends on what platform you're utilizing. People on LinkedIn and Facebook are used to leaving. Instagram is not set up for people to leave ever. So how can you
ever? You're like on it for hours.
I'm trapped. Not as much as TikTok, because that place is a black hole, and that's why I don't play a lot there, because I would never leave it because their algorithms.
Reels in general get me sucked in.
The algorithms are so good. I'm like, I know that you're sharing amazing things that I want to see, but also I need to go to bed. I'm like, I'm doing research. It's fine. For clients.
That's a great lie you're telling yourself.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like, so
I might use it.
The external ones are really about driving traffic somewhere else. So there's two ways to do it. One, I'm a big proponent of getting people into your DMs in some shape or form. Right now, you might have noticed a lot of people utilizing chatbots, ManyChat, anything like that, where it's like DM the word yay to get the freebie or whatever, and it's automated. That's totally a ninja move. If you don't have a lot of engagement right now, like one of my clients was doing this, she had 600 comments in less than 3 hours. Like, she needs the automation. If you are like, I'm new to the engagement process of this, okay, cool. Ask for them to comment something and then just be around, have your notifications set up, and just DM them the link yourself. Like,
yeah,
it's scrappy, it's not fancy, but it does the job. And just encourage
people. ManyChat has a free version.
Excellent.
Yep.
Then utilize that. I haven't even got, I used to have a paid account and then I was like, this is not where I'm at right now. I just don't have the time to figure this out. So again, utilize the free version, the paid version, whatever version you like, if it helps take some of the burden off of your plate when it comes to dialing in the leads. Because that's a huge, huge piece of the puzzle right now, specifically. And I think it's also only a matter of time where that strategy also gets burnt out and people are like, I'm not commenting anything, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, just encourage conversation, ask people, do polls. This is something that's super underutilized. Do polls in your stories. And then if people say yes to something, then send them more information about the thing, whether it's a blog or your freebie or a workshop that you actually have on this. Hey, saw that you raised your hand and you said yes to blah, 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 blah poll. You know, I would love for you to join me on the free workshop that I'm teaching all about this stuff. I do that. Yeah. People like sign up. You know, it's not salesy. They raise their hands and thought about it.
Amazing. And you're solving a problem and you're offering it and people sign up. It's how it works. Wild. And then you have their email and then you sell them something in your free workshop.
Wild.
And everyone knows that's the process. Like when someone gives you the email and they know, like, I'm going to a free workshop, she's going to try and sell me something.
Yeah.
And if my problem is big enough, I may just need it anyway. So that it's not a surprise to show up.
And I love what you just said, because it's like, if my pain point is loud enough, is painful enough, I'm going to take some sort of action. Mm-hmm. And your subconscious might be already shopping around for that solution. And you just haven't found the person that really resonates with you. And so the more your content can speak to your ideal audience, that ideal client or customer you want to have in your business, that means you have to know their pain point so well that they like feel almost like creeped out by it.
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah, they feel so seen by.
Like, I've known you forever.
Yeah. They're like, whoa. Were you in my closet with me yesterday crying? Because that's exactly what I was thinking. You know, like those are the people that really have it dialed in. And it takes time to get there, right? If you're like, I don't really know if this is going to work, try it. Like, well, I always
and
say,
I think that.
Good.
I was just, that goes back to the polling. So if you're not sure what the biggest pain point is or the little side pain point of the big pain point, ask the, or who your ideal client is, then ask those questions in those polls. Ask the prospects, ask the clients. Just keep asking until you're like, this is the exact demographic avatar of my ideal client. And that would be for each product or service too. So if you have multiple things, you can have multiple avatars.
Absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm. And look at I think another place that we sometimes brush over is our comment section. A lot of people don't pay any attention to the comments section. Not the people listening to this podcast, but a lot of people don't pay attention.
Yeah, not
they don't
these
engage.
Women. Yeah,
they don't engage.
The women who listen here, they're on it.
They're on the ball. So
they're on the ball.
Look at it from a market research perspective. Look at it to understand really what's resonating with people. And my biggest pet peeve, and one of my good friends is in the business of like customer care. That's her entire agency model, is just helping with the customer care side of social media. Because on social media, people expect that quick response. Yeah. Because people go to social media to feel something, like some type of empathetic approach. They're there to be entertained. And by way of entertainment, they maybe are seeking information. And so the more you can understand what their pain points are, the more that you're paying attention to their comments and replying back to them, not ignoring them, the better your content's going to be and the better your relationship and rapport is going to be with those prospects who took the real human that took the time to leave the comment. Mm-hmm. Acknowledge that person. Because I think people get wrapped up in
authentically.
The numbers. Yeah. People get so wrapped up in the numbers. I only had 3 comments. Okay. But those 3 people were real humans that took the time to comment on your thing. Are they nothing to you?
I'd rather have 3 solid leads than 50 non-qualified, which is what we were like. That is part of what today was about, was qualified leads, because we could throw up content that's funny and does not direct someone to give us the email or to the sale.
Exactly. So just be intentional about it. And I think as a bonus thing is, can we just agree to have fun?
Yes.
Also,
I will sign up for that mentality.
You know, like social media can seem like super high stakes and all these things, but I just want everyone to remember to have some fun. Back when you could grow a page to 3,500 people in, you know, a couple of months, like, can we just keep it social, keep it conversational, keep it light, instead of it feeling like, you know, we're trying to crawl up a mountain with a ton of bricks on our back. It doesn't need to feel hard. It gets to feel easy if you make it feel easy and intentional, and stop paying attention to what everyone else is doing. Be authentic to yourself. Know your audience inside and out so that you can create content that speaks to their soul, so that they open up their purses for you. You know, and just next time you post, just remember social media is a place to play. And I think in the sales world, they say like ABC, always be closing. For me in social media, I say ABC, always be curious. Be willing to put on that lab coat, roll up the sleeves, try things, experiment with things, because that is the coolest part about social media, to be totally honest, is one strategy does not fit all.
Right.
And I think that's the best case scenario for a lot of us out there. So focus on those true connections, being social, nurturing those relationships, driving traffic somewhere, get them to take some sort of action, but make it easy action. Don't ask someone like, what's your life story? Drop it in the comments. Like, no one is going to do that.
Someone writes a paragraph.
Yeah. Like, you know, like a quick, like, thumbs up emoji or, you know, which number relates with you, you know, 1 through 5, you know, just keep it simple, keep it easy, show up consistently, and have something to give them in terms of a lead magnet or an ebook or a case study. Something that they're craving that can, I'll say, put a band-aid on their problem.
On their pain point.
Yeah. Yeah, but doesn't solve it all the way. It's like the what, but you have the how, so they need to pay you for the how part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It sounds like all of these 5 steps plus the extra ones that you've given us today, social media doesn't have to be hard if you have a strategy, because a lot of what you're talking about is like, if you just sit down and either work with someone like yourself, or if you've got the knowledge to do it yourself, like, make sure there's a strategy, because then all the timing and the ideal client and the authenticity and all the things will come out. And that's a piece that I see people miss. Like you said in the beginning, it's like, they're doing the 3 posts a day because someone told them to do that, but it's all over the place and there's no call to action and all the things. Yeah. So if we start with a strategy and keep these 5 things in mind, someone can really do this pretty easily.
Yes. Yes. And don't lose focus. And it takes time. So it's not as easy as, you know, share the download one time and get, you know, 450 new people into your email list.
Oh, come on. There's someone in the feeds right now saying they did that.
Yeah. Cue eye roll. I mean,
that's funny.
Crazy, crazy. But yes, I love that.
Well, Carlin, I think this has been really impactful, because it is so simple. Like you said, like, these are simple things that anyone can do, regardless of if they've been in business for 20 years and have, you know, $20 million in revenue. Like these are things to just kind of bring us back to and same with someone who may be just getting started up.
Yeah.
So
it's a great
very
foundation.
Much appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes. Any final words for our listeners?
Final words. Have fun, be authentic, measure what matters.
Amen. I love it.
Yes.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please be sure to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. The Woman Choosing Growth Show is not just another podcast. It's a tribe of women helping each other grow. So please share this podcast with all the women entrepreneurs that you would love to see succeed. If you'd like to know more about customized business advising through Cultivate Advisors, download business tools, or sign up for upcoming events, visit www.womenchoosinggrowth.com. Once again, that's www.womenchoosinggrowth.com. Remember, we are in this together. See you on the next one.